The idea there is to get a broad range of perspectives together to talk about a real problem in or challenge that the industry is facing, and to try to come up with a unified consensus about, you know, how can we tackle this kind of issue.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Bobek, and today I'm here with Dr. Martin Zudoff. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really, really excited to have a chat with you today about some different parts of the poultry industry. But first, I want to ask, how did you get into chickens?
Oh, it's a long story that I'll try to make short. I grew up on a pig farm, so I had a farming background. My mom and dad, they grew up in the war in the Netherlands. They immigrated to Canada, and they had... my dad had grade 7 education. Now, he was a reader. He was a very knowledgeable man, but he really valued education. So he had put aside some money for all of us four kids to go to university. I studied liberal arts and science. And at the end of my science degree, I loved the science, but it just wasn't close enough to application. So I wanted to get into agriculture. So I, at the time, ostriches and bison and elk were the up and coming new thing. And I thought that would be kind of cool to get into diversified livestock. So I took some ruminant nutrition, and I was going to study that so that I could do work with bison. And turned out I was young. I had a daughter and a son, and didn't have any money. So I could have done a degree in bison, but I wouldn't have gotten a stipend. So I came out of a meeting with another, since I had taken ruminant nutrition, I thought, well, maybe cattle. So I had a meeting with my ruminant nutrition professor. He said, yeah, we've got something. You can use this brand new technology, NIR, to study the availability of nutrients in cattle feed. And I thought, oh, that sounds pretty cool. But it had to start May 1st, and it was like April 20. So I said, okay, that's great. That's great. I'll just tell the guy that I agreed to work for the summer that I can't work for him. So I walked out of his office, and there was John Fettis, who was the guy I was going to be working for. I said, oh, John, I need to talk to you. I can't work for you this summer. And he says, well, I'll paraphrase. It was something like, the hell you can't. But it was, I'll paraphrase it by saying, that's not an option. He said, you agreed to work for me, and you're going to work for me. Otherwise I'm screwed. So we were walking down the hallway, and at the end of the hallway was Frank Robinson walking towards us. I had never met Frank Robinson because I'd done my degree in the science faculty, not in agriculture. And John said, oh, hi, Frank. Have you met Martin? And Frank said, no, but I've seen him around because I was wearing this I rode a motorcycle, so I had this long Australian horseback riding coat.
Yes.
And so I was hard to miss. Plus, I'm 6'6". And He knew who I was, but I had no idea who he was. We sat down, and about 15 minutes later, I had a MSc in poultry lined up. So it was completely serendipitous. I couldn't have found or even asked for a better life mentor than Frank Robinson, but that's how I ended up in poultry. Like, it's kind of a bizarre story.
Yeah, that's amazing. You just got told, no, you will not be doing that. You're working for me. I mean, I love the finality of it. There was no decision. You just went.
Yeah, so I had to disappoint the ruminant nutrition professor, but I ended up somewhere that I'm very happy. So I have no complaint.
I mean, I think it turned out great. Oh, that's exciting. I love to summarize, you just say, I got strong-armed into poultry. I mean, that's really...
More or less. Well, I had worked for John Fettes the previous summer or two, and they were poultry projects. So I had a little bit of exposure to poultry. Yeah. It wasn't entirely strong-armed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, away from the ruminants, maybe that was the strong arm.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a great story. I love hearing how everybody stumbled into poultry, because a lot of it is stumbling, and then people realize how much they like it and they stick around.
Yeah, I get to do things that I love to do.
Join the Poultry Science Association at our inaugural PSA Pacific Rim Scientific Conference, October 13th through 16th in Macau, China, to explore groundbreaking symposia and hear the latest research impacting the global poultry industry. Here is your chance to present your latest work, recruit future leaders, and network with other experts in the field. Help us shape the future of poultry science. Register now at poultryscience.org. See you in Macau.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to talk to you today about Poultry Science Association, or PSA. Just wanted to define that so if people are listening, they know we're not giving a public service announcement. We're talking about poultry science. So can you talk about your experience with poultry science? Like, when did you join?
I think it was 1991 or 1992. My first poultry science meeting, I think, was 1992 in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
And I've been a member every year since, and now I'm the president. So
amazing.
I always thought these presidents, they're like unapproachable people. Like, they've done so many things that I'll never be able to accomplish. And let me just say right now, that if anyone is listening and they're new to poultry, come up and talk to me, and don't be shy, because I'm just a person just like anybody else, just with more experience, and the experiences have prepared me to serve in this role. So it's been 30 plus years, almost 35 years that I've been a member.
That's really exciting. So can you talk a little bit about just your experience with poultry science over time, and maybe like what a new member or any sort of member, how they could become active?
Yeah. So poultry science has been my home, for all of that time. One of the things that I always mentioned when I started out in poultry was the people in this industry are great. And the people in the Poultry Science Association, you know, they were welcoming. We had great discussions, and it was just a lot of fun to be, to share a passion and an interest, and just to be able to explore and hear what's new. And, you know, I often have referred to PSA as my work family. That is still very much my vision for what our association could be, right? I think is in reality for a lot of people. It really is about connecting and sharing new ideas. And the association is really about having a credible place to be able to share what we, you know, the knowledge that we generate as scientists. So To me, that's really the key.
Yeah.
Role, raison d'être for the association.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about what the association does and offers? I know a lot of people might think about the summer meeting, the yearly summer meeting, but I know there's a lot more than just the meeting that goes on.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of being on the board for 3 years. And then now as I'm cycling through the executive role. So I've come to know and appreciate the association a lot more. I love our mission statement, which is to be the world's most respected resource for the poultry sciences. That really sums it up in a nutshell. So poultry science has three journals. We just acquired a third journal. The journal Poultry Science, Journal of Applied Poultry Research, and now European Poultry Science. Those are three excellent journals that provide a home for, I've got over 100 articles published, and they're almost all in poultry science. There's a few in Journal of Applied Poultry Science, a few in scattered other journals as well, but that is really the home for my work. And the association is all about making that credible, right? So there's a rigid peer review process that our editors in chief really spearhead. We have associate editors that that help to find reviewers. Every manuscript is reviewed twice, or at least by two or more reviewers, and any issues are flagged. If they're not deal breakers, then there's a chance to go back and revise. But what gets published through that process is stronger usually than what was submitted for publication initially. So we do that. Another thing that we do is our annual meeting, which is at the summer meeting of poultry science, and that's held usually somewhere in Canada or the US. We're an international society, so we have members from, I haven't counted them. I've heard the number, but like dozens of countries around the world. We also have started a Latin American meeting every other year, which we've been holding in Brazil. We will be holding our first Pacific Rim meeting this fall in Macau, China. Last year we started a professional development conference to help our members develop the skills and tools that they need to be successful, whether it be an academic or industry job in poultry. So there's a lot of things that we do that are really about providing member value. I'll leave it there unless you have more specific questions.
So there's the scientific peer-reviewed article standpoint. There's presenting your data at the summer meeting. So there's a lot of different ways it seems like to interact. So
may I add?
Yeah.
Rewarding or recognizing excellence is also really important. Mm,
yes.
So PSA has a ton of awards that are presented at the annual meeting. It was my absolute privilege to be able to help give the awards to students for the certificates of excellence for their presentations at the Brazil meeting in October. I'll tell you, it is so rewarding to see the satisfaction and the joy on the faces of these students when they got their awards. It really is an important thing that we do, right? Sometimes, you know, we forget how important it is to say, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Because you don't always get that at work.
100%. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I've always encourage my students to be in the PSA hatchery and active and attend the events and the mixtures when they can at the actual annual meeting. And then I know there are some other webinars that go on throughout the year too, but
yeah.
So as far as like just overall impact, I know that a lot of people consider the poultry science meeting kind of their home, but do you think that from attending the meetings and publishing in the journal that just really, you know, changed or formed the trajectory of your career? I mean, seeing other people's work and kind of getting feedback, I'm sure has been great.
I do. And there was a time when I went to the meetings where I was not feeling that way. I was feeling like, oh, come on, people, you're not inspiring me. So it's also about inspiring, right? And it's also about getting out of your little box, right? Because I used to spend a lot of time in nutrition, and I found that, you know, the work that's being done is valuable, but a lot of times it was maybe confirming what the industry was doing already, and maybe adding a little bit of value around that, but it wasn't really, innovative and leading, which is what I aspire to do. So I started stretching myself and attending other sessions and realized that you can go to a lot of different concurrent sessions at Poultry Science. And we have tons of symposia at our annual meeting, our scientific meeting in the summer. And by doing that and spreading yourself around, you get a better appreciation for the breadth and the depth of what's going on in poultry science. And then I started to be inspired again. So that was great.
Yeah. I think having resources around, even if you can't be the expert in that area, just to connect with someone who is, and then maybe develop collaboration status. That is what I really like about watching other people in their, you know, chosen field.
Yeah, it is so gratifying to be able to go and hear someone you've never met before. Maybe someone who's even been publishing for a while, but I haven't paid much attention because it wasn't exactly in my sweet spot. And then you realize, wow, there's a ton of expertise and knowledge and leadership in the people of the association, which is really cool.
So with the acquisition of the third journal this year, what was the thought process? Was it just because of publication location or other? I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Actually, the publisher, or maybe I wasn't directly involved in the conversation. So I'll give you the grapevine version.
Sure.
of the story. But actually, the German branch of the European Federation of the WPSA, the World's Poultry Science Association, approached Tom Porter, who was our president at the time, about taking over the journal. They were worried that they wouldn't be able to sustain this moving forward. Their publisher was, I think they had one or two scientific journals, but most of their stuff was not scientific journals.
Oh, sure.
And the world has changed a lot in the last 5 or 10 years when it comes to what kind of a model we need to be able to publish science. So they were afraid that they were going to not be able to sustain their journal. So they didn't want to lose it. So they approached us about taking it over. So we just closed that deal a few months ago. Well, actually just over a month ago. We still have a lot to work on with respect to what are we going to have as a focus for that journal. If you look at the mandate of the German or the European Poultry Science Journal and Poultry Science, for example, they aren't that different. Mm-hmm. Although poultry production in Europe is quite distinct from North America. So there could be a nice separation in terms of, you know, the European approach to poultry, poultry science, compared to the North American, although 80% of the manuscripts we receive for poultry science, to be published in poultry science, are coming from Asia. So there's already quite an international mix in our journal. And a lot of Europeans are also publishing in poultry science. So I guess we have some work to do in terms of figuring out, you know, how is the European Poultry Science Journal going to, what niche is it going to hold?
Yeah.
We'll have a bunch of meetings in the next 6 months to start to figure all that out. We don't want to upset the apple cart, though. It's a good journal, and we're not in a rush to change it. But I think strategically there are some opportunities that need to be defined that we'll explore.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if somebody wanted to get involved in kind of the leadership of poultry science, what kind of opportunities are there? And then how do you get nominated, elected, chosen, drug?
Yeah, I think establish your credibility first, right? Present it at our meetings, network with people. If you want to get involved, there is a volunteer form on our website. And I'll tell you, I relied on that heavily. It was my responsibility as the president this year to appoint committees. And I relied heavily on the volunteer form. Like, who has self identified as wanting to be in a leadership role in the association? And that is probably the best way to get involved. So go to the Poultry Science website and find that form. If you can't find it, there are ways to send a message to the association, and we have some staff that would be happy to help you identify with that desire. So a lot of it is personal connections. I didn't fill out the volunteer form myself, but I knew people that, you know, you've been around for 30 plus years. People start to know who you are. And of course, I'm that loud, obnoxious, I think fun, but some people might be more judging than me. that Canadian guy. I hate the spotlight. So things like doing this podcast kind of make me nervous, but that being said, if there's fun to be had, I don't mind the spotlight. So
yeah, exactly. does that form have a time where it resets? Like, do you need to resubmit every year, or is it you're on a list and you're there forever?
No, that's a good question. So We keep the list, but we have a date at which you we've got a date and time stamp for when you identify. So we will often look at the more recent people first. Don't hesitate to let us know again if you've already filled out that form. To let us know that you're still interested. Once you've had the chance, I've worked on committees. I've been an associate editor, lots of different ways for you to be able to serve. We're always looking for section editors.
Oh, sure.
And reviewers. So there's a great way to be able to contribute And if you're a member, you probably, and if you've published, you've probably been asked to do reviews, please say yes. And yeah, through just through being involved, you become known by identifying your interest in leadership roles through that volunteer form or talking to one a member of the board. All of those are ways for you to get into a leadership role. There are some, there are a lot of really good leaders. So if you don't identify and you're not part of our networks, we don't want to overlook you. We just don't know you. So let us know.
Sounds great. So you could be involved with the association all the way from, you know, reviewing to having a role on the actual leadership board, which is really cool.
Yeah. And the, I have to say the people that I've met on the board of directors have just been incredible people. And if you're listening and you think that that's for you, absolutely let us know.
Yeah, that's great. Well, is there anything that we haven't covered about the association or the impact during our chat that you might want to either reiterate or mention?
I think we've hit on the main points. I mean, we hold quarterly board meetings that last a day and a half to 2 days. So there's obviously more to talk about, but
yes.
I think we've hit the high points, and you know, our mission is really one of the things that I want people to buy into, to be the world's most respected resource for the poultry sciences. One of the things that we're trying to get off the ground a little bit more, we've done a couple of what we call think tanks. They're the idea there is to get a broad range of perspectives together to talk about a real problem in or challenge that the industry is facing, and to try to come up with a unified consensus about, you know, how can we tackle this kind of issue? The idea really, I first learned about this approach from a group in the Netherlands who did something called Het Rondeel, which is the roundel, which is a system for housing hens, that they asked the question, what does a hen need? And they had producers and processors and truckers and consumers, industry people, academics, government, animal rights groups, like such a broad perspective. And together they wrestled with, you know, how can we come up with something that will work, that that can solve some of the concerns consumers had about egg production. So our idea is to do something like that, to come up with practical solutions that are not just, you know, some one person's idea of how we should do it. It's a consensus with a broad range of input. So that type of thing, what makes us the most respected world resource for poultry sciences? Probably relevance, right? So if we can find ways to implement, you know, there's a big gap between science and application. And what we're trying to do is to help bridge that gap in at least a few areas.
That's amazing. And it's great to hear that association is always trying to stay relevant, because sometimes you wonder, not poultry science at all, but you just wonder, what's your end goal for some of these?
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Resistance affecting your coccidiosis program? AccuGut C.1 is a proven tool for your coccidiosis toolbox. AccuGut C.1 is a phytogenic formulated for poultry with plant-derived substances including essential oils, herbs, spices, and plant extracts. Reduce the reliance on chemical coccidiostats or ionophores to build cost-effective rotation and shuttle programs. Give your traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I'm going to ask you the questions we ask all of our guests before we wrap up. The first one is, do you have a favorite poultry resource?
Poultry science? Poultry sciences journals? I mean, honestly, that's where most of my information comes from.
Yeah.
I have, some of my friends call me a quant. I love to analyze stuff. And there's this book called Intuitive Biostatistics by Harvey Motulski.
Yeah.
Stats are really important and they can get really mathematical. So what I love about this is that Harvey Motulski, has really done a great job at making statistics come alive and intuitive.
Yeah.
Visualizing data, nonlinear models, and just really good explanations in lay terms about what statistics are and what they're doing. I think everybody should read this book.
Yeah, that sounds like a great book. Sometimes explaining statistics to people outside of your field is the hardest, and it's just because they don't really understand the process or can't visualize what you're even talking about because it can get complex. My second question is do you have a favorite non-poultry or outside other resource that you like to reference?
I don't know if I... by referencing using probably YouTube is bloody amazing.
Heck yeah.
There's a lot of junk on there. I noticed when my grandkids came over on the weekend, they can find this just absolute garbage on YouTube, but DIY videos and stuff.
Yes!
Man, YouTube is the best. And to think that it's only like 15 years old or so, like, or 20 maybe. What did we do before we had YouTube?
I don't know, because I needed to learn how to make some like wall texture look better. And I found a video this lady taught me in 5 minutes. And my husband was like, that looks professional. And I was like, I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. I would love to have something like that for poultry science too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen in the really near future, but just to make science come alive. There's room for us to grow in that area.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, that would be great. my last question before I let you go is, what is your best advice to be successful in the poultry industry?
I think be yourself, have integrity, and have fun. I often say to people, whether it be at a board meeting or in my work, my students, I said, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Like, we got to find the joy in the things that we do. So that would be probably one of my biggest core values.
Yeah, I can see that it is. And I love that because people who are Debbie Downers, not the people I want to be around. So have fun and enjoy it even when it's hard, because you'll be better on the other end.
Absolutely. And try to keep a positive attitude, because, you know, there's so many things that are hard. Try to focus on the stuff that gives you joy. And I think you'll be successful.
Totally agree. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I was enlightened on a few aspects about the association I didn't even know about. And I've been a member for a while too, so not quite as long, but yeah, love the association and the members are great. I totally agree with you there. So thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
For those of you listening, if you liked this episode, like and share it so we can see Martin's mug all over the internet.
All right.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.